It's good to be with you again. And it's been a good week, but it's been an unusual week. But I have a lot of things that I like to remember. And the things that I like to remember was about my time with my wife. It has been gone for 9 years and some few months. But we had a great life and a great time. And that's kind of unusual to think about the two of us. We went to school together, but I didn't really know her. And when I did get to know her, we worked in the field together a little bit. And so she was growing up a sharecropper dog. And her daddy let alcohol work on him pretty bad in his early life, and he didn't have a lot of upbringing by females, and so he kind of learned things the hard way, and I learned most of what I knew about my father-in-law from my barber, believe it or not. And I was sitting, my barber, he always had a conversation going. And his barber shop was down under a hardware store in the basement, hardware store. And he would be talking to some of the older guys that he cut their hair, I guess, probably most all their life. And so I didn't let on, I never told him who I was married to, but I had Ronnie and Troy, and the three of us would go over there and get haircuts. And one day he was talking about a guy named Buffalo. And I didn't really mean to get on this, but I was kind of going back to what I was thinking about. And everybody in town called him Buffalo Baldwin. Well, the more he drank, the more he got like a buffalo, he'd put his head down.
More buffaloer.
Yeah. He'd put his head down and get involved in something he shouldn't have been involved in. And the two of them were talking, and I just sat there mesmerized because I had not heard any of this stuff. I still didn't say anything. I just let them, I mean, you know, they wasn't informing me getting involved in this conversation. And, but later on, I think that may have been the same day, but I think when the other guy left, it was in the chair he was talking to. And, I still had my two boys and myself, and when I got in the chair, I said, well, I learned a lot from you today, Clyde. His name was Clyde Moore. And he said, about Owen? I said, yeah. And he said, did you know him? I said, no. I never met him, but I know his brother. And I said, I'm married to his daughter. And he says, oh, my God. I wouldn't have said anything. But, and I said, well, I didn't ask you not. I didn't ask you to stop, did I? And he said, no. And I said, well, that was one thing I learned more about my father-in-law, or would have been my father-in-law, but he had passed away. And he passed away before I ever met my wife.
Yeah, I think mom was 13.
But I did. I learned more from him than I ever did any of his people, because his people wouldn't talk about him much. And I thought about that while I was sitting there, and I had went to school, and I had worked with my father some, and my father was a welder during World War II, and he built ships boilers for these little ships over around where they're having their problem now, getting the oil through the thing. And I said, Hitler, he was torpedoing these little old ships and making these people hungry because they couldn't get their stuff to eat, because most of it come in by ship or rail. And he already had the rail to care of. But he was doing this, and they were building these little ships in Newport News too, where they were building the big stuff. And so this is where it was going, but my dad was working in a Babcock Wilcox shop in Parkton, Ohio, all during the war. And he wasn't working any men, he was working 70 to 75 women. And so he had to learn all them how to weld. So he got to be pretty good. But he also learned me when I was about 10 years old. After the war, my dad would get trucks and bring them down, and he'd put a flatbed truck on the thing and put the sideboards and all on there, and I'd have him do that in the summer. And we had a welder there. And first thing you know, I'm better welder than he was. And so when I went to Atlanta and got a job, they sent 31 of us over to Lawbear and Aggie Laboratories to get a certification for the military, for the government. And out of those 31 people, they did but 3 of them passed the test. And so I guess I became what you would call a professional welder before I was 20 years old. But here's the deal. When my wife and I married, she was a sharecropper's daughter, and I was the son of a farmer. Two opposites, about as opposite as you could get there, but guess what? It all worked out great. And I did a lot of thinking this week. And this week, we would have been married 69 years last Monday. Jeez. And my wife died in 2017. And so I had what I wanted. and she had what she wanted. But she wound up being a double amputee and blind. And I was the one that took care of her. So for the first 33 years, I wasn't a believer. But she was. And she prayed for me every night. I heard her pray to God for me every night, probably just about every night. Until I was 33 years old, and then I became a believer in 1971. I wish I'd have done it a lot quicker than that.
He has his reasons.
I can't go back.
Yeah.
I can't go back to that. But the Lord has.
It was all in God. Everything's in God's hand.
He had took care of the whole thing. And so here we are. A lot to think about. And we both like country music. And of course, Dolly Parton died this week. And a lot of our dates, we were listening to the radio and doing all these things. And it just brought all that back. So used a lot of my time doing this. Turn with me back to John 15, verse 20. 15:20. The very first word there in that verse 20 is remember. Remember the word that I've said unto you. The servant is no greater than his Lord. What word is it? Well, you got to read the rest of it to get that. It says, if they have persecuted me, talking about the Jewish people. And here, it's about a day and a half from the persecution. So it says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So, as much as said, well, if they believe what I say, they will believe what you say if you speak of me.
Yeah.
So, the persecution thing is going to go on with man because they did not believe. And so it may wrap us up a little bit, but nevertheless, this is what we have to look for in that. So the things they will do. Verse 21. I got to 22, but I went back to this. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So they never really understood that this message that they were getting come from the Lord, or come from the Father through the Son, because of where we were at. And because what they could not see was the rhema. They couldn't believe in resurrection, although here on the last day and a half before Jesus went to the cross, Lazarus was there that had been raised by Christ. And they just couldn't take this resurrection thing. It was something like, oh man, I don't believe that crap. I can't believe this. Well, he's had a little more to say about it. This is where we're going to get into 21. And 21 says, but all these things will they do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And this is what he says, you know, the received text here has the datum, but all the text reads EIS at 104:5 for my name's sake, because they know not. The am that sent me.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times early on when they were given the land and they were going, you know, take over the land. And so they had a little group there that was in charge. They said, well, who am I going to say that sent me? And he said, well, this fellow, I am, said she. Well, they didn't know who I am was. Although they had been promised a lot of stuff, they never could see that. So that's where we wound up in our last. So we get to verse 22. Let me get my papers. Right there, here, okay, I got it. Got notes, and then I got more notes. And the reason these notes are important to us is the way these things are set up to happen, they have been prophesied down through the ages. And so all the prophets, they got some of this stuff to tell people. They didn't get the whole story, but they got part of the story. And so they got enough of it so they could begin to put it together somewhat. Because they're at this point in time there, just before the Passover, they had a new high priest. The Jews did. And I read somewhere in this, well, there is one who will come and he will give his life for people. Says this, if I had not come and spoken unto them, and that goes back to the I am that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, in 20. Let's see. I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Full stop. But now they have no cloak for their sins.
Yeah, the note that Chico put that said they would not have sin, i.e. in rejecting him as the Messiah.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is the one that'll cap it off.
Okay. But now they have no cloak or no excuse for their sins. And we find that in 22. So his words that he had here, that they did not hear, and out 128:1. I too. They had missed the mark there, and evil took over any action with the deed. So they had nothing to hide behind. But in full sin, before all people, because they did not have a cloak for their covering. So it seems like that God had given them a chance there.
And they blew it.
And they didn't take it.
No.
So this is kind of the way things went. But see, it's all playing out to a picture of what is coming down the road, because everything that's coming down the road has got to fit in place. And this is kind of like John here is giving this information. And I'm not sure that he understands at what they're saying, even himself, that this information is understood but by very few. Because every time that there's something put up that they can bypass, they don't do it.
No.
They can't do it. In 20:23 says this, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. And in that verse, there is no, note there in the companion Bible. You go from 22 to 24. So 23 should stand alone here as we look at it. It says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also.
Back and still.
The sin is still there. And it's openly there. So they had no cloak for their sin. So 24 says this, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, full stop. But now they both seen and hated both me and my Father.
Yeah, he showed them the proof.
He goes back to all these, where he went back to these things, where he went back to the guy had been there all these years and didn't get, couldn't get in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And when he made him well and told him to take his bed and go home, that was their excuse. Oh, you broke the law. Not you didn't do some wonderful thing. It's you broke the law.
Yeah.
And then the other thing too was, you know, the guy that was there, and whatever they did for him, I forget now, but whatever they did, whatever God did for him, it was the same kind of a thing. It was the thing of breaking our law rather than the thing that you could do that no other man could do. Now, when you weigh the two, what do you think about that? It's kind of like things today. No matter how you look at it, somebody's going to bring up a situation that is just not worth not worth your time. If I had not done among them the works that none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my father because of what we did, other than what we did do. They said, well, you done it because you could break the law. What's more reasonable? Well, verse 25 kind of tells us this. It says, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that was written in their law, that said, they hated me without a cause. It was a reasonable cause that they were bringing forth to Jesus because he did what he did, because he came to do and to show them what he could do.
And for this next day and a half, there's going to be a lot of fulfilled prophecies from the Old Testament too.
Absolutely. And it'll all come out the way it was foretold.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a trial that's being had here before the trial ever starts.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Christ being a lawyer and showing them that, you know, this is
what's going to happen.
The way it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall or will testify of me. And here between these two verses, there's a shall in one and then a shall in the other. And so shall and will should be the same word. So, for he shall testify of me full stop in verse 27. And he said, and ye also shall bear witness or testify or testify present, because ye had been or you are with me, or you have been with me from the beginning. Psalm 104, Exodus 1, in verse 26. So, you have hated me without a cause. And verse 27 says this. You shall also bear witness or testify or prison. Well, I should have read 26, but I did read 26. It says, but when the comforter, and it says, see John 14, 16. So let's go back to John 14, 16. And it says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, or for eternity, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Well, it's already been given. Yeah. When the Comforter shall come, when I will send unto you, or shall have come to send, he said, if I didn't come, the Comforter couldn't. If I didn't go, the Comforter can't come. And that word is the word pimpo. And it is at 174-4. From para. And and it comes from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will or shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness or testify or testify in the present, because you have been or you are with me. And in the Greek there, that is the word meta. In Acts 104, XI-1, from the beginning. So 26 and 27 goes back to say, they tell us about the Comforter, and he says, I'll send him to you from the Father, which he has to proceed from the Father, because he shall testify of me, because of me being the Son, and those two are now one. And he shall also, or will, bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And this was what he was telling to the 12 that were still there. At least 11 that were still there. That this was what was going to happen to them, because you know, they're all in a bunch now together. So you can't say, well, this will be down the road somewhere. It'll be next week sometime, because he's not going to be in that situation, in the grave for more than 3 days, 3 nights. He's going to be back with them in a form for a while, the 40 days. So you got the three days and three nights, and you got the 40 days, which makes 43 days. And he was telling them down there at the point that he was going to go back. And so after 43 days, he went back, because when he went back, then the comforter came in the form of an interpreter. Interpreted to them what they should have known, and with Peter, and he said, this bunch of drunks. No, it wasn't a bunch of drunks. They were hearing in their own tongue, or a tongue that they had acquired by being carried off into service to others as a bond servant. And this was part of the deal, because how else can people know unless they know more than one language? If they know a language and tell the other person, if he can't understand, if there's nobody there to interpret, it doesn't make sense. You see, if he was going to be in the grave 3 days and come back, and he's going to be with him 40 days, that's 43 days. So he said, you stay here till the comforter comes. And they done that little work they needed to do about replacing the 12. And guess what? When the comforter did come, they heard their words spoken in the language that they knew and understood.
Yep.
Maybe not the language that they grew up with, or maybe not the language that they were now speaking. But
Jews out of every nation.
But it didn't matter. They heard it in their own way of speaking this thing. And so that concludes John 16:15. Then we get down to John 16. And 16 chapters, or verses 1 through 4, kind of go together. And16 says this: these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And so there's three verses here that deals with the world's hatred that's been manifested. The very first is the Lord's warning. Because he said, I'm warning you, the things that I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Because these things were laid out. And they were foretold. And so there is no reason that you have to make an excuse to anybody. He said, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. This is man's words.
Yeah.
He got right into
pretty stark warning there.
He got right into that in a hurry.
He ain't pulling any punches, that's for sure.
Because what he said in verse 1, he didn't want them to be offended because, or to be scandalized or caused to stumble. And there's a note there in there in the Companion Bible that says the Talmud speaks of him as the one hung. Well, if you're going to be put up on a cross, I guess there's no other way to do it than to hang you.
Yeah. On a cross.
So it spoke there in verse 1 in the situation there that, yeah, you don't need to be offended or you don't need to have cause to stumble. But then in verse 2, let me turn my pages. And he says, they shall or will put you out or make you excommunicated. Excommunicated in the Greek is the word aposynagogos. That is to be excommunicated. Put you out of the synagogue. Full stop. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you think that he doeth by presenting an offering to God as service.
Yeah. Okay. They're literally doing a sacrifice for God.
To God. Service. Now that went up big in the situation because this is how far down in the toilet they are. They're just so far down they can't even get ahead of him. Get your head. Verse 3 says this, and these things they will do unto you, because they have not known or knew not the Father nor me. In verse 3. Let me get it. You know. In the Greek, there not is the word in the Greek. Yeah, 105:1. And no there is 132. Yeah, 132. I, 1. The Father. And, nor. Me, nor me. In Udi, nor Udi, me. Did not know me or the Father. Said, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. But these things have I told you, that when the time or their hour, i.e. the time of the things, of verse 2 and 3 that we just read, shall come, or shall have come, at the beginning, or from the beginning, is the Greek word exarches. Exarches. You may remember that I told you of them, and these things have I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. And there's a note there, I think, that I put in there. I may have did this myself, but it says, this is the world's hatred foretold, and it's reason that it has been foretold. And so this goes into the fourth verse of that. Now, from on down from this, it picks up with sixteen five on the next page. In the notes of John 16. So let's read that. 16:5, it says, but now, I go my way. At this time, and it's talking about time there in the Greek, is the word none, N-U-N, none. I go my way, or am going away, or withdrawing to. And the two there equals the word prunes, P-R-U-S. And proves, there is it said the accusative sense, and it means the end or if you're going to something, when you get there, then it's the end. Okay? And so, he is talking about him going away to him that sent me. And it's, when he gets to him that sent me, he will be at the point of his journey. He is back to talking about to be there. And that Greek there is Odis and Horatio. And in verse 5. And none, he says, or no one, and that no one there is odious of you, that word there is ek, or ask me, hero thing of whither goest thou? And he said, it's a funny thing that I go my way and I'm going to withdraw back to the one that sent me. And none of you, talking about the disciples that were there, have asked me where I'm going. And where I'm going is pretty simple.
Probably got their attention, I think.
This is to return to the Father. He's going to return to the Father. We'll do six. It says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And of course, he is speaking to his disciples about their silence and about their sorrow, because he sees within them the human side of them at that point.
And they're probably pretty upset about what he's told them, because the future ain't looking good for them.
If he says, I've come to do my job, and I have done my job, what else is left for you guys? You know, this is basically. So there's going to have to be some explanations go forth from this thing, because if all this plays out the way it's supposed to play out, then it can be remembered by them that what he had said when he was with them, that it was going to be a situation. So let's look at the notes on 16:6, but I want to turn the page. And it said, none of you ask me whither goest thou. But in verse 6, it says this, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Okay. The notes in the Companion Bible says they did not grasp the expediency of his going. They didn't realize the next day.
They didn't get the gravity of what he had to do.
Well,
at all.
No, and the fact was that they didn't really have a clue as to how all this was going to come about.
That's a really good note, because I totally agree with what's going on.
So questioning had given place to sorrow. See, they didn't have enough questions. They didn't have enough information to even ask a question. But the sorrow was overtaking them, because, and they said, oh, he's leaving us.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Plus, they're coming for us when he's gone.
And he says, when I'm gone, if they're going to kill me, they're going to
get you too.
Okay. All else was excluded by the distress caused by the things that had been foretold.
Yeah.
That is a good,
statement.
And then, verse 7. We'll do it right quicker, get started on it. It said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Okay. how he says this. If I go not away openly, for all to recognize, the Comforter will not come in. But if I depart, I will send him unto you in a read note on 7. I want to read the note on 7 before we go home. He said, nevertheless, but I tell you the truth. Talks about the two passages here indicate that Caiaphas deemed exceeding. Go away is to go openly, because if he's going back into heaven, he's going to go back like he came. And he talks about the Comforter unto the prose, same as to in verse 5, depart. And in the words here for depart is poor euomai. Poor euomai. Same word as in 14:2. Note the three different words used by the Lord. In this verse, euomai, twice translated go away, expressing the fact. And then the other word is for EU, for UO, may I, means to depart, describing the change of sphere from earth to heaven. Now, go away is one word, but to depart,
that's a good note.
It's another word altogether. It means that it's from earth to heaven. I'm going to leave this sphere and go into another realm. Okay.
Yeah, that's a real good note.
And in verse 5, it says, epigo is the manner secretly visit or by the way of resurrection. It was in this way that Peter could not have followed him back in chapter 13, verse 76.
Only he could have that resurrection.
Yeah. So you see, to go, to return.
Well, at that time.
Yeah, at that time to return, it was down to one individual at that point.
Yeah, you gotta have the first fruits first, and then the rest and go.
Yeah, right. So that's, I wanted to get to that in 7 before I left all of us hanging out. Because if I depart, I'll send him unto you. Well, in that case, he had to make that order stand that it would fulfill what had been
the prophecy, yeah,
prophesied to do that. But there's just so much there of it needs to be understood. It's hard for these guys, even having been with him, to understand it, much less the people that are against him.
Yeah.
And those that are against him, they're gung-ho to do it in. And he's right there near the place now where they're going. Where they're going to take him and ask him questions, and then it's all over. All that, after that, it'll be downhill from there. But, Thank you for being with me.